Chumash tells us right after the burial of Sarimenu, before Eliezer is sent to find a shidduch for Yitzchak Avinu, very famous pasuk, first pasuk in Perek Haftalad, that Avraham was old, Avraham zaken baba yamim, well on in years, Hashem berachet Avraham bakol, and Hashem blessed Avraham with everything. So it's a very interesting pasuk. What is it coming to teach us? What does it mean that Hashem blessed Avraham with everything? So there's a tremendous amount of commentators on this. I'd like to take a look at the Gemara in Baba Basra, source number 2. The Gemara says, Hashem berachet Avraham bakol. What does it mean, bakol, with everything? So Rabbi Meir says, Shelo haitalo bat. He was blessed that he did not have a daughter. Bakol was everything is not having a daughter. Source 3, the Ramban, this was a blessing to Avraham, for if he had a daughter, who could she have married? To avoid marrying a member of the local populace, the cursed Canaanite nation, she would have to find a husband outside Eretz Israel who might have influenced her to worship idols. Avraham Avinu did not want her, any of his pure progeny, which issued from his wife Sarah, to leave Eretz Israel, and he certainly did not want them to worship idols. So that's the Ramban, very famous Ramban. The bracha was that he didn't have a daughter, right? Shidduchim challenges started even then. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, his blessing was that he had a daughter. So there's Machlok Mitzvah, Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, did he not have a daughter? Did he have a daughter? There's a lot of Torah on this. We're just going to touch on it. Acherim Omerim, others say, Bat Haita Lola Avraham Uvakol Shema, that Avraham indeed had a daughter, and her name was Bakol. So Hashem blessed Avraham with everything. What does that mean? He blessed her with a daughter, and her name was Bakol. The Gemara goes on to talk about how Avraham Avinu was somebody that the kings from the east and the west would come to seek his advice. And then the Gemara continues, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Omer, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, Evan tova haita tuliya b'tzavro shel Avraham Avinu. There was a precious stone hung from the neck of Avraham, our forefathers. Shekol chole haro'eh oto b'yan mi'prapeh, and any kol, bakol, any sick person that looked at it was instantly cured. And when Avram, our forefathers, passed away from this world, when Avram Avinu died, what happened to this precious stone? The Holy One, blessed be He, hung the stone in the orb of the sun. So when we take a look at this, as the Divrei Yisrael from Majitz in source number 4 says, this Gemara makes absolutely no sense. L'chora hinehu ma'amar satum ve'no muvan klal. What is this idea of an Evan Tova? Avraham Avinu wore a necklace like women around his neck? Is that what this means? And if it had the power, the skula of refuah, the power to heal, so then it should be anyone who saw the stone was healed. So the real tribute goes to the stone, not to Avraham Avinu. So why are we focusing that Avraham Avinu had this stone? Anyone could have had this stone. What's going on here? Further, he asked, what does it mean that Hashem took this stone and he hung it, begalgal chama, in the orbit of the sun? Now, you look up at the sun, you see that stone there now? What does this mean? And also, when the Gemara says that he had a daughter and Bakol was her name, if Avraham Avinu had a daughter, how come we don't know about her? I mean, like, is this a well-kept secret that no one knows? So obviously, this whole Gemara, from A to Z, he had a daughter, he didn't have a daughter, it was good he had a daughter, it was good he didn't have a daughter, Bakol is her name, and the stone that's around Avraham Avinu's neck, that people get healed, in what way were they healed, who got healed, how did they get healed, this whole Gemara is like, hello, what is this Medrash trying to teach us? So before we take a look at our three levels in Mirtz Hashem, it's imperative that we remind ourselves of an idea that we've learned before from the Juggler and the King in his introduction, Rav Feldman. He says, Halacha and Agarata are distinct from each other, not only their content, but in the respective modes of expression. Halachic discussions usually begin with the sources of the laws from the scriptures and then elaborate on it. Agadata, on the other hand, conveys its teaching by other means. Most of the ideas of Agadata are derived from scriptural texts, just as halacha is, like our pasuk, right? Hashem berechet Avraham b'kol. But they rarely stem from the simple translation of the verses. In order to reveal the concept of Agadata, the exegetical level known as drash is used. Drash is the method of interpreting the allusions lying beneath the surface of a verse. A more important, the asterisks and five difference between the two domains of the oral Torah is that whereas halachic discussions are rigorously logical, Agadata is often noticeably obscure. This obscurity is intentional. And Agadata, the message, often some of those basic ideas of Judaism, is garbed in what appears to be parables, riddles, or even practical advice without any religious content. In light of this, one great authority writes that the above-mentioned dictum, that verse never departs from its plain meaning, only applies to Torah verses and not to Agadic statements. The plain meaning of Agadata is usually not its true meaning. When you come to a Medrash, right, this is a perfect example. The Medrash that Avraham Avinu had a daughter named Bakol. The Medrash that Avraham Avinu has a stone around his neck. This is not to be understood literally, necessarily. It's here to convey a message. And the reason they did it this way is, unlike halacha, these concepts cannot be readily understood by everyone. Indeed, up until then, there had been only taught to the wisest of students. So they wrote it down in an obscure form of parable and hint. The keys to a true meaning would continue to be transmitted orally. They're relatively few and ran no great risk of being forgotten. And that's why we have to understand that when you read these type of agadatas, it can easily be misunderstood. And people then question it. What do they mean by this? Come on, this can't be true. It's not meant to be true. It's meant to be taken with a deeper meaning. It's meant to be taken allegorically. And that's why one needs to understand Medrash with Chazal, with the insights of our rabbis, to be able to understand the messages that are found here. So, my friends, let's take a look at this Gemara. Avraham Avinu perhaps had a daughter whose name is Bakol, and we know nothing about her. And Avraham Avinu has a stone that's around his neck that people get healed. And when Avraham Avinu died, this stone is connected somehow to the orbits in the sun. Darshani, what is this all about? What are the messages for our lives? Let's take a look at this on three levels. The first level. Just as a point of introduction, Source 7, the Ksav Sofer, points out that it was important, it is a bracha, that Avraham Avinu had a daughter from Sarai Meno. Why? So it says in the bracket in 7, Kereli Tserna Hador Mushem Avimelech Debra Sarah. Right? There are all these rumors that Sarai Meno became pregnant through Avimelech. And how could these two old people have a child? It was very difficult for them to believe this. So what did Hashem do? The bracha was, he gave them afterwards a daughter. When they saw afterwards that they had a daughter, so they say, ah, it is possible that they had a child. And that's what Rashi intimates, that Bakol is the gematria of Ben, of a son. That now that the daughter, Bakol, was born, that shows retroactively that the son, S-O-N, was really theirs. What happened to this daughter? So says the Ksav Sofer, perhaps she had died, and there was no one to marry her, and she died at a young age. Some people say she died at the same time Sarai Meno died. We don't know. What's the significance of having a daughter? And again, there's a lot of Torah here in the Mefarshim about the importance of having girls, and how special girls are, and that girls are created on a different level than boys. None of this is what we're doing, even though it's very fascinating. And very beautiful, but that's not where we're headed for today. So, what is this idea that he had a daughter and he named her Bakol? So let's take a look at the Birkas Mordechai. Source 8. Shekharish Baruch Hu Beirachet Avraham Avinu Be'etzem Ha'uvda Shel Bakol. The bracha that Avraham Avinu got is the bracha called Bakol, all-inclusive, everything. Lo el kamayot o echiyot hadvarim ufanim, el al kara atzma. We're not talking about what the item was. We're talking about the recognition. Ki etzem hakara, the understanding, the recognition that you have all that you need, that's the biggest bracha from heaven. Bracha tzuma, the greatest bracha. And he says in the arrow, haga atzmecha, look at ourselves. Have you ever met somebody who says, I feel like I have everything. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, I just feel I am complete. He says, if you ever met such a person, they'll probably have to have a walking around with a sign. I am an anomaly. Nobody else is like me in this world. You're not going to find this. Little asterisk, Alava MSE, Kimabat Objectivity, Ayain Heitevit, Tivakach, Kilo Chaser Lachamuma. Truth be told, this, my friends, listen closely, listen deeply. We're really not missing a thing. Largish Velag Lachushetakol Haze, Hiabracha Bracha Tsumahi. By the double arrow, our challenge is to realize that whatever we have is exactly what Hashem knows we need at this very moment. Avram Avinu, his whole life was to be able to understand this secret of the Hashgacha. The Hashgacha, the divine providence, is that everybody gets exactly what they need. L'chol echad enai notenet hashgacha kol ma. God gives us everything we need, that if you look closely, you'll recognize Sheba'etzem yesh lo hakol, you really have everything. So what did Avram Avinu do? He took this gift called daughters, which sometimes we take for granted, particularly if you have a lot of them, and he said, stop. Don't take anything for granted. Don't take daughters for granted. And he named this daughter Bakol as a continuous reminder that I have to appreciate everything that Hashem gives me. Right? We've spoken about this. The name is the essence. Everything is given to me by Hashem. In a certain respect, whatever I have, I am complete. And he says, this helps us explain the Gemara in Brachos that says, Ki ome rebirkat azimun, when you say the zimun, and you say that Hashem gives us bituvo, if you say mituvo, from Hashem's goodness, and that bituvo, Hashem's goodness, you're bor, you're an amaretz, you're an ignoramus. What's the difference? Because mituvo has the connotation of from. Bituvo means the entirety. We have to understand that when Hashem gives us this piece of bread, it's not just a piece of bread. It's an entirety of blessing from God. It's not part of a blessing. It is the blessing itself. And this, in the double squiggly in 11, Natal Ravino with the Chana Matanot Shantan LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham Avinu took one of these gifts that Hashem gave him, his daughter, and named her Bakol Kadesha Kol Pnea Eleha Bishma. Every time he turned around and said her name, he will feel this recognition and this understanding. Ki Be'etzem Echol Davar Yesh Bakol. Not only in this daughter is there beauty and completion, but really in everything that Hashem gives me. This loaf of bread, this whatever it is in its entirety a bakol, a complete blessing from God. When Hashem gives it to me, this, to the extent that I have, to the amount that I have, is exactly what Hashem knows is what I need at this moment, and it's whole, it's complete. It's our perspective that says it's incomplete, it's not whole, but really is whole. How do I know this? Because Hashem gave it to me. Hashem has granted this to me. Yadoa teida ben adam, ki berecha kadosh baruch hu bakol, yesh lecha takol, lo chaser lecha muma, you're not missing anything. Ah, but you'll say to me, what about tefillah? What about davening to Hashem that I should have more? What about davening to Hashem that I want A, B, and C? If I have everything, then where does tefillah come in? So he says, of course you have to daven. It's a big mitzvah. Davening connects you to Ribono Shel Olam in tefillah. And this is what Hashem wants. Aval tov kedei kach. At the very moment you're davening, alech l'argit v'lachush ki gam im rotzeh. Hincha, Mina Kodesh Baruch Hu, Od Harpe Dvarim, Avava Shekvar Yishlecha Yishlecha Tako. Yeah, you want more. You want to have this, and you want to have that. We all want more things, in Ruchnius and Kashmius. At the same time, know that where you are is a level of completion. The Mida of Bakol is this ideal state of feeling complete, of feeling whole, of feeling serene, and that which we have is exactly what I need right now. And instead of focusing on but, focus in on rather thank you. The Chidushei Rabbeinu Yosef Nechemya, the Av Beis Din of Krakow, asks an obvious question in source number 12. He says, really? Avraham Avinu was able to feel Bakol? He just lost his wife, right? The one who he spent his entire life mission, hand in hand. His son wasn't married. He didn't know who he was going to marry. He's in a state of Bakol. He's in a state of things that are missing. Beito neharas in 12 double squiggly. Beit beno ha'huv adayin lo divneh. His house, his wife, has been destroyed, and the next generation hasn't been built up yet. So what do you mean he was able to say, Bakol, and be able to really feel that he's in a state of completion? V'ashar kavana ki ha-tzadikim in the bracket ha-shleimim b'tuchim b'chastei Hashem kol hayom. Tzadikim have this level of tamim tiyem Hashem lokecha, of total belief. U'maminim ki kol David rachmano l'tov avid, and they believe that whatever Hashem does is for the good. V'gam ha-nireh lo tov l'fi sha'ah, yechshav b'neim l'tovah l'vracha, v'chevat Hashem hi ma'usam. Even though in the human eye, this doesn't look good, in the human eye this is painful, a tzaddik knows this is good. How does he know this is good? Hashem gave it to him. If Hashem gave it to him, that means it's good. V'chevat Hashem hi ma'usam. The joy of Hashem, that's their strength. And that's the idea that Avraham Avinu was able to go through all of his life and all the challenges, kibel ba'ava v'simcha, with love and with joy. U'matza ki Hashem beirachu to bakol, ki hakol tovah l'bracha meit Hashem. Realizing everything is a blessing from Hashem. This we can appreciate in 13, the Gemara about the stone. What does it mean that there was a stone hanging from its neck? So says Rabbeinu Yosef Nechemya in the bracket, which a lot of the Mefarshim say, the neck is the place, and again, we have to understand the allegory and the meanings, right? The neck isn't that he wore a necklace, but the neck is where the vocal cords come from. This is HaKoach HaNifla Shaya B'Mamar Piv, that Avraham Avinu had a tremendous power that was coming from his voice, Lamshich Rabin Lavodat Hashem, and that is the great stone. It wasn't a physical stone on his neck; it was a gem of a advice, of leadership, of speech that Avraham Avinu possessed that was able to heal the people. And what was this? Nitrapeh kocholi b'machlas ha-nefesh asher b'abekirvato. People would come in and they would say what their problems are. Missing a shidduch, missing children, missing parnasa. Right? The problems are ancient problems. And they would come to Avraham Avinu and they'd say, what can I do? I'm feeling so forlorn, so lost, so lonely, whatever the case may be. And Avraham Avinu gave them the greatest jewel possible, and that was teaching them the oneness of Hashem. Teaching them and instilling in them that recognition and that understanding that whatever we have is good. That whatever Hashem does with us is good. And that is what was the healing aspect. It was the aspect to be a maimin, to be able to believe. Ki gam ha-nireh ra hu l'tov. Even that which appears to us to be bad is really good. V'chilo le'olam yitosh Hashem. And Hashem never leaves us. V'imayom olam choshech bado ad meirat yizrach lo shemesh. And if today it looks dark, v'yer v'yiboker, soon the sun is going to rise. This is the Margaliot Tova. This Margalit Tova Atova. This is the precious stone that Avram Avinu had the ability to heal. Ko chole v'cholev nishbar v'nipkeh. The wolves who are sick are the broken-hearted ones. And this is a deeper meaning that Avram Avinu, when he died, Hashem hung it on the sun. Again, that's not literal. Look at the Galgal Chama Ro'im Anu in the dot and 13 on the bottom. Shacharei Shemafil Shuv Meir Holech Ve'or Anachom Hayom. You look at the sun. Right now, I'm taping. It's 9:30 at night. It's dark outside. But in 12 hours from now, it's going to be light. The sun is that message to us of the Galgal Chozer, of the circle of life. Today a person's wealthy, tomorrow they may not be. And la ha'efech, today they don't have money, tomorrow they will. So now that we don't have Avraham Avinu, Shuv acharei moto kvar yizkilu limso musar zeh begalgal achama. Look at the sun. And when you see the orbit of the sun, now it's dark, now it's light, that's the message that Avraham Avinu was teaching. Yes, we all go through dark times, but know that these dark times are tailor-made for us exactly for what we need. And there will come a time of light where we'll be able to appreciate that the darkness is all part of a much larger picture. Vayera vayboker yom echad. Don't get stuck in the darkness. Know that the darkness has meaning. And when one lives a life of meaning, then even darkness is able to be held, is able to be tolerated, it's able to be even embraced. That's the bakol, the entirety, the wholeness. That's the bracha of bakol. Hashem beirachet Avram b'kol, Hashem blessed Avram with kol. That's the bracha that Avram Avinu was able to give over to other people. The V'shalom lo yachsar takes this idea of and quotes from another place in the drushos of Rabbeinu Yosef Nechemya, who continues this idea where he says, we say in the famous kapitel of Mizmor Shir, Liyom HaShabbos, kapitel Tzadik, Sabenu baboker chastecha. Allow us to be satisfied in the morning with your kindness. Which means we know everything's for the good, but it's hard sometimes to be able to see this. And therefore we're not masfia, we're not full, like a blind person who's difficult to get full from food that you can't see. So we're asking Hashem, Sabenu baboker chastecha. Help us be able to see that whatever we're going through is good. Let it satisfy us. Let us be able to learn to appreciate it. And then the end of the pasuk is, then we're able to rejoice our whole lives. Right? It's not just to ask for a shana tova. We ask for a shana tova umituka. Not only a good year, but a sweet year. That we're able to appreciate that whatever we go through, it's really sweet, even though it's sometimes difficult to see this. Let us, sabenu baboker chastecha, let us for a moment go, be satisfied with the kindness of Hashem, whether we understand it or not. And he says this helps us appreciate the one of the Sheva Brachos. We say, kol mitzalus chasonim mechupatam. The rejoicing of the bridegroom and the bride, mechupatam, from the bridal canopy. Well, hello, from where else is it? He says, no, this is the bracha. That, you know, sometimes later in life you say, now I figured out why I needed to marry this person. Now it makes sense. No. Mechupatam, from sabenu baboker chastecha, from moment go, be able to say, this is rejoicing, this is good. And that has to be the mindset that we have to have in our lives to be able to see and to be able to appreciate that whatever we go through is Bakol. This helps us explain an idea we've seen a number of times. Sichos Moser gives in Parashat Vayetze, when Yaakov Avinu says, Lama harayosem li? Why did you do this thing to me with the brothers and Yosef Atzadik, with the spies? And the Medrash says, how could Yaakov Avinu have said this? Let's take a look in the inside. Yaakov's criticized, 18. For looking at the details in particular events, while ignoring the total picture. If one looks at particulars, one gets a distorted view of how things really are. Yaakov suffers when looking at Yosef's disappearance itself, but it's the beginning of Yosef's monarchy when looked at in the context of subsequent events. And this is why Parshat Vayetze does not have any Parshat Psuchos. It doesn't have any stops. In order to really understand Jewish history, you have to see it as a continuum. This was great enough for Nachum Ish Gamzos. His response to the events that occurred to him was not merely a demonstration of simple faith, but rather prospective events in their overall context. While each event in its own was bad, this too would add up to a benevolent total, which in fact it did. He was able to view God's deeds with the approach of God's judgments are true. They, his deeds, are righteous when taken altogether. The greater level, the higher level, is not only to see them that perhaps this is, you know, bad in its own right, but rather to say this may be painful, but nothing is bad. Right? Bad is our description of pain. We don't understand it. But everything that Hashem does called Avir Panalu Tavavi, at the moment that it's happening, we don't see the goodness. We sometimes need to step back to see the collective whole and say, ah, now I understand why this all had to happen. Our challenge is to be able to feel the Bakol, to be able to live in this moment and know that this moment is part of a much larger perspective. And everything Hashem does is good. This moment is good. And when I see the entirety of where this moment fits into my life, I understand so completely how good this is. The Gra writes in a letter to his family, 19, bear in mind, about that which you laugh today, you will cry tomorrow, and about that which you cry today, you will laugh tomorrow. You have to be able to see the context of the wholeness of a person's existence, this world, and the world to come. That's why we may be thinking to ourselves, well, not everything has a happily ever ending. The answer is, we end the story in this world. So in our mind, it doesn't have a happily ever ending answer. However, when we see it in the complexity of this world and the next world, and you're able to understand that there's a larger picture here, then one understands that whatever one goes through is good. It's where one needs to be. It's part of a larger plan. Living this way is living in experience of Bakol, which is the greatest bracha possible. So now, my friends, once we understand level number one, that Bakol, literally, he had a daughter, her name was Bakol, to remind him of this bracha, to appreciate everything that we have, to walk around saying, Hodu Hashem ki tov, ki lulam chasdo. Thank you, Hashem, for everything that you've given me. To be able to appreciate everything, even when things don't go well. Flat tire, Hodu Hashem ki tov, ki lulam chasdo. Whatever it is. The necklace is not a necklace. It's the voice of Avraham Avinu proclaiming this message. That's the gem, and that's the healing power. That whenever a person is broken, and we know physical and psychological pain, body, soul, relationship, very intertwined. When a person is in this state of angst, when you understand that everything has meaning and purpose, that gives a person a perspective, a joy, a direction. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, how do we reach this? How do we access this? So it's very easy to say it. Well, maybe not so easy to say it. However, to live it, to integrate it, to inculcate it in our lives when we go through such challenges and we're in difficult situations, is much harder. So I'd like to suggest two sides that are really two sides of the same coin, but slightly different. One is a mita to work on, and one is a mindset to work on, to help us be able to access this level. The mita to work on is our level number two, source number 20. This is from the Badayim. Lashon Chassidim quotes. Bad haita lulav ramu bakol shema v'nuchalu marshag meromef lan bekan maya ikar avodah sa'ata. Again, as we said, these are teaching us the deepest levels of service of God, and they're couched in phrases and expressions that aren't to be taken literally. What is it that a person should work on? Hinei ikar ha'avdus hi b'chinas hachnava na'va. If you had to choose one character trait to really focus in on that holds so many of the other character traits, the answer, says the Barayin, is, and many others, is humility. Shitbonen tamim begadlus Hashem. You see at all times the greatness of Hashem, how He fills the entire world. There's not a place that's devoid of godliness. And think about how small we are and how great Hashem is. And when you're able to have this mindset, then you have to be able at that point to step outside of self and say, there really is no self, there's only Hashem, and my job is to try to serve Him as best as possible, taking myself, elevating myself to take myself out of the picture. And he says in the asterisk, Ukashi Yeshla Adam Bechinas Bonanufa Nava Kanal Bazek Kalu Kolomitos Tovos. If you have a nivus, you have all the good quality traits. Chas v'shalom, but God forbid, if a person is gavus aleif, person's haughty, even if he seems to have all the other good midos, all the other good character traits, and he's davening, and he's learning, it's very minimal, because he's dochek ragle hashchina. Hashem can't reside on him. Hashem says, you and I both can't live in the same world. It's either you or me, and obviously you've chosen you. This is a deeper understanding. Avraham Avinu came by Yomim in 21. The numerical value of Yomim is 100, which is a reference to the Semidah Vanivos Pasuk in Parshas Ekev. Uma Hashem Elokecha Shomimcha. What does Hashem want for you? Ki im liyira, but to fear Hashem. Gemara says, don't read it as ma, but as mea, as 100 blessings. So this is the mea. This is the Yomim. This is what Hashem wants. Ma Rides Mea, in order to reach a nivos, this is the core character trait a person has to have. So, Avraham Avinu came Baba Yamim. He came with this mida of a nivos, and Hashem blessed him Bakol. The Gemara says Bakol is a bat. Based on a pasuk Malachim, a mida, a character trait, is called a bat. So when it says that Avraham Avinu had a daughter and her name was Bakol, it's not a literal daughter, that's level number one, but rather it means he had one character trait that was Bakol, which was all-inclusive of all the other character traits. And what character trait was that? Anivus, was humility. So Avraham Avinu's quote-unquote daughter, the girl here, is not a physical girl. The girl is a catchphrase for the core midah that a person needs to have in their avodas Hashem, and that midah is humility. With this in mind, the Bir Moshe, the Azhar Rava Rebbe Zatzal, explains this is similar to what the stone was all about. Ki Yitzhara Nikra B'Shem Evan. We've spoken about this before. The Yitzhara is referred to as a stone. Avraham Avinu was able to take his Yitzhara and turn it into good. So therefore, his stone turned into a gem, an Evan Tova. The Kochos Shel Yitzhara Rak B'Misha Mitzgad. And who does the Yitzhara have a field day with? In whom does the Yitzhara able to have a hold? Someone who has Gaiva. Someone who has haughtiness. Somebody who has humility, the Yitzhara has no room to even enter into. Therefore, Avraham Avinu, who was the first of those who were humble, write about him, it says, Vanochi Afar Vefer, he describes himself as dust and ashes. Zacha Biglal Hanava, he was worthy because of his humility to turn the Yitzhara into Yetzer Tov, which is called a stone. Which means he's able to take this quality, as we've spoken about last week, Moav, the haughtiness for Gaiva de Kedusha. Now we can appreciate anyone who was sick, got healed from him. What is this sickness that we're talking about? So it's very clear. The Shvili Pinchas in 24 tells us, Hakina v'ataiva v'akavod. Where do most illnesses come from? And again, this is a concept, right? This is not a medical study here. Jealousy, desire, and honor take a person from this world. Which means that most people, you know, you get like, you know, I can get so sick over what happened. You ever hear people say this? When a person is really jealous, when a person is running after honor and the honor is running away from them, when a person wants something desperately and they're ready to do anything for it, they become sick over it. The kina taivan kavo, the gaiva, the desires for self, that's the illness, that's the sickness. What's the refuah, what's the healing? Anifos, the humility that a person feels like, who says I deserve this? Why should I run after this? If I'm deserving of getting it, I'll get it. This is the healing that Avraham Avinu was able to bring people. So on the first level, the healing was bakol, everything's for the good. This is a little bit more specific. That Avraham Avinu was able to look at these people and say, what are you running for? Where are you going? What are you jealous of? And when he was able to allow the people to understand that the jealousy, the running after honor, the desires were so limited, and for what? Then they were able to say, you're right, we don't need to run after all of this. And then they were able to come back, to have a refuah, to have healing, to be able to heal themselves. What does this have to do with the sun? So the Be'er Moshe alludes to this. We'll develop this further in the Shvili Pinchas. Now that Avraham Avinu isn't around to heal people from this angst of kina taiva kavo, now what do? So the answer is you look up at the sun. This gem of a device is found in the sun. How so? So we know the Gemara tells us Amar Rashi 25. Why? Because from the sun, you can learn the same quality, the same mita of humility. And that's a famous Gemara. Of hanelovim ve'enam olvim, those who are persecuted and don't persecute, those who are, you know, people make fun of, they hurt, I'm looking for the word, I can't get it. Shomim cherpatam ve'nam eshivim, they hear people insult them, those who are insulted, and they don't respond. The end of it is, aleihem hakatuv omer, these are great people. They are similar to vo'avav kitzeit ha'shemesh v'gvurasa. They are like the sun when it comes out in its full glory. So what is people who are, you know, humiliated or hurt have to do with the sun? So the Balei HaTosfos explained that we know that when Hashem originally created the two luminaries, Vayas Elokim et Shneim Aros HaGedolim, He created two luminaries that were both very big. And what did the moon say? Well, you know, we can't both be sharing the same crown, so one of us has to diminish itself. Sun, I think you're the good one. And the sun doesn't say a word. And the sun's silence is the humility of the sun. And that's one who somebody insults and doesn't respond. That's humility. Because a person who says, how could you do this to me? It's about me. It's about Gaiva. And again, there's a place to stand up for yourself, the Chule, 100%. But in a case of where it's irrational, so it's not about me. And I have the humility to step back and to recognize this. So now that Avraham Avinu is no longer around, if you want to learn this mita of anivos, and it's like almost a mindset, just like the mezuzah is a mindset for us, look up at the sun. And the sun is everywhere. And remind yourself that just like the sun knew how to be silent to the moon's complaints, we also need to have that humility to be silent as well. This aspect of a nivus of humility is the key. It's the midah that allows a person to feel happiness. Because when a person has humility, it's not about me. And therefore, when things go on around you, it doesn't bring up all of these feelings that literally make a person sick. That is the message that this medrash is teaching us. And we know, my friends, although step by step 26, a healthy sense of self-esteem is essential, an excess of ego is decidedly destructive. Pasuk tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Anochi omed ben Hashem uveinechem meitahi, talking about Mamad Har Sinai, I stood between Hashem and you at that time of receiving the Torah. Rabbi Chiyo Michal of Zlotchev, Nesiv Shalom quotes this many times, interpreted this homiletically to mean that one's anochi, one's sense of self and ego, stands between ourselves and God. Anochi, the ego, stands between us and God. This means that a person with an inflated ego has no room in their life for Hashem. Appropriately enough, Hashem has no room for him either. And later on in this essay, he goes on to explain that one of the ways to work on anivus, or I'd like to share two ways, to work on this feeling of anivus, one is judging people favorably. So Reb Chaim Friedlander explains that when we judge someone favorably, 27, we force ourselves to admire that person's motives and actions. We conclude that he or she meant well, did not transgress or sin, or perform the mitzvah. Conversely, when we judge someone harshly, we look down upon him or her, soothing our own egos at the same time. Psychologically, by mentally criticizing someone, we're being arrogant and intolerant. Every opportunity to judge favorably also gives us the prospect of growing in humility. I don't know. I don't know everything. And I'm ready to make room for another person. Of course I know. I mean, obviously, you take up all the space. By judging favorably, you make space for other and allow them to have room. That is a sign of humility. The Ramban, his famous letter, and you see Garrett, places humility as the centerpiece of all good midos. That's what we're saying. Bakol, it is the midah. He counsels the son, and by extension, all of us, speak swiftly to all people at all times. By doing this, Ramban concludes, we'll be saved from anger. A Friedlander explains that all anger derives from gaiva, haughtiness. Why don't you listen to me? Why don't you do what I say? Me, me, me. Someone expects a certain level of performance, perfection, deference, or the like, because of his self-image. He thinks this is what's coming to me. On the other hand, the humble one, the anav, has no reason to become angry in the bracket in 27, for he expects nothing from anyone. He considers every gift to be wonderful because he has no demands. Thus, he never is angry at attaining a constant level. He's never angry, and he's attaining a constant level of joy and satisfaction. So, my friends, the goal is bakol, to see goodness in everything. One way of achieving this is anivus. Is humility. If we make demands of God, well, of course I deserve this. Me? For all I've done for God? Of course He has to give me. Then the world centers around me. If at the same time I'm able to say, whatever Hashem does is good, and I deserve nothing, and I appreciate everything Hashem gives me, that mindset is one that's going to be open to bring blessing down, and that's the bat. That's the daughter. That's the midah. That's bakol. That's all-encompassing. That is the midah of humility. And that is the ability to turn that stone into a gem, that yitzhahara, into something positive. That's the core that can help people become healed. When they're able, and this is something we really need to think about and process, when we're able to step outside of our ego and make room for others, make room for Hashem, kivyachol, that humility enables me to then appreciate what I have, to not make any demands, to not have any expectations, and just be filled with gratitude. Another way of achieving this mindset of Bakol, if we've worked on we mentioned a Mida, a psychological insight, let's try to take a look at it from an intellectual perspective. And that's the third level of understanding this Medrash. There are many levels. We're just sharing three today. Back to Majish Divrei Yisrael in 28. Ela yesh l'rameis v'lomar inyan hukach. Peirush Even Tova. What does it mean, this gem, this beautiful stone? That's tshuva. This is the Mida of tshuva. V'shuvu el Hashem v'kach tov. Based on Pesach and Hosea, Yudal, Gimel, Sham, Shuva, Haftorah, return to Hashem and take goodness. Goodness is tshuva. Anyone who saw Avraham Avinu immediately was about tshuva, and that healed him. As the Pesach in Yeshaya says, V'shav v'rafalo. This is why we have the brachos of tshuva, of slicha, re'ena v'avinyenu, and refuah, all linked together. When a person does tshuva, they redeem themselves and are worthy of being healed. So this is the idea of v'shav v'rafalo. You do tshuva, you'll be healed. Avraham Avinu was able to instill in people this level of tshuva. And as we'll see, tshuva is connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. It's returning back to the core of why we're created. And that creates healing within a person. And he says, when it says tzliyah b'tzavaro, it was hanging on his neck. What does his neck mean? So we say that's the vocal place. It doesn't mean that literally the neck. It means that anyone who saw him, even his tzavar, the back of his neck, anyone who just took a glimpse of Avraham Avinu, when you see a gadol, even from the back, you become awed, you become a different person. You suddenly have that clarity of what life is all about and how one should live life. V'zeu ha'inyan m'shenivtar Avinu alav shalom tal'a Kadosh Baruch Hu begal gal chama. So when Avraham Avinu dies, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes this quality, this mita of tshuva, and puts it into the sun. What does this mean? It's a little bit Kabbalistic. Galgal chama, face of the Gemara in Shabbos, galgal shu chozer ba'olam. Galgal is an orbit that returns into this world. The chozer that returns into this world, the chozer reminds us of tshuva, a chozer b'tshuva, one who returns in tshuva. And the idea of the galgal chozer ba'olam is this Batkol. It's this heavenly voice that continuously, like the orbit of the sun, this heavenly voice that continues to permeate through the world and declares every day, Oy lahem labrios v'albono shel Torah, it's time to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, when Avraham Avinu was alive, he was the voice. He was the one who called people to do tshuva. He was the one who created this Hir Hor tshuva, continuing 29 in the Da, this mindset of tshuva that people return to Hashem. When Avraham Avinu died, so now we no longer have that voice emanating from Avraham Avinu, and instead we have a bat kol. We have the heavenly voice, the bat kol, the echo of the original voice, right, that is coming every day to remind us to do tshuva. So therefore says Divrei Shmuel Yisrael, that really when the Gemara says that he had a daughter named Bakol, and the idea of the stone is now on the sun, it's Hainu Hach, it's really one and the same. They're referring to the same thing. The stone on the sun, and his having a daughter named Kol is a reference to this bat kol, this echo of a voice. That means his daughter. It means that it's not directly his, but is emanating from him. That's the voice, the echo that comes every day from Har Sinai, telling a person, Shuvu banim shavavim, return my wayward children back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the question we now have to understand is, how do we understand the Divrei Yisrael's comparison between the fact that there's a refuah and tshuva interlink? I understand the bas kol is to tell a person to do tshuva, but how, when one does tshuva, does that affect a refuah? I understand on the first levels when you understand the complexity of the world and the meaning, that then leads a person to understand what you're going through has purpose. That's a refuah. That's a healing aspect. But when one does tshuva, in what way is that healing? So I'd like to suggest perhaps a very important insight, which is very practical for our lives. We'll introduce this insight with the Shvile Pinchas. The Shvile Pinchas explains that the shira of the sun, what the sun is about, is that every morning the sun gets up, source 32, and says, Hodu Lashem kiru bishmo, hodiu bamim alilosav, shirulo zamrulo. Give thanks to Hashem, call out His name, make His acts known among the people. Sing to Him, make music to Him, speak of all His wonders. And indeed, we follow suit when we begin our Psukei Dezimra. We also, like the sun, we begin Hodu Lashem, right after Baruch Shamar, we too sing praise to Hashem. What's this idea of singing praise to Hashem that's specifically connected with the sun? So there's an idea that's a very profound idea, that this is the core. In the future, and this is in 33, Hashem will remove the sun from his sheath. The tzaddikim will be healed by it, while the rishayim will be punished by it. This song of the tzaddikim is very much a song that's not only present in this world to sing the praises of Hashem. This song of the sun will have impact in the future. The tzaddikim are going to be healed by the sun, the shemesh marpeh. The sun has a healing aspect, and the rishayim are going to be punished. And the pasuk that's quoted, and this is the key, ki shemesh umagein Hashem Elokim, for a sun and a shield is Hashem Elokim, explains Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The name 34, Havaya, is analogous to the light of the sun that provides illumination for the earth and its inhabitants. Yet human beings cannot tolerate the full intensity of the sun. Its light and intensity must be diminished by its sheath. Similarly, mankind cannot receive the full magnificent light of the name Havaya, which is supernatural. It must be restricted by the sheath of the name Elohim, which operates within the confines of nature. And this, then, is the interpretation. The name Havaya is like the sun. It's the supernatural. Elohim is the shield that cloaks the sun. In the future, what is going to happen? Hashem is going to take out that full intensity of the Yudkei Vavkei, and the tzaddikim who've been living by this modus operandi their whole life is going to be healed. They're going to be vindicated by their whole life, while the rishayim are going to be punished when they were caught in the outer guise, in the sheath of this world, and failed to see the inner depth. The greatness of Avraham Avinu Zakein Ba'ad Bayamim is that Avraham Avinu managed to rise above double squiggly in 37 and see through all the situations of Hester Panim and recognize that everything in the universe is a blessing of the name of Hashem. What does it mean that Avraham Avinu called in the name of Hashem? Avraham Avinu was telling the people, don't get caught up in the outer trappings. Don't get caught up in the world of nature. Be able to see beyond that, there's a powerful influence. There's the influence of Hodu Hashem Kiru B'Shmo. Call in the name of Hashem, the Yudkei Vavkei. No, behind the Teva is something much more powerful, which is the name of Hashem. We know that everything that exists in the outer world exists in the inner world. So if there's a sun in the outer world, which has two components, the sun, which is the concealed part that we see, the full sun, we can't be able to see, it's just too powerful. The full name of Hashem, we can't experience, it's too powerful. So there's a cloak, there's a hiddenness, there's a Hester Panim. Within ourselves as well, there are two ways that we operate. There's the outer shell and the inner core. The outer shell is very much like the teva. The sun rises, the sun sets. A checklist. I did this mitzvah, I said this bracha. I go through my day, check, check, check. That's the outer cloak. The shem havaya, the yudkei vavkei, the inner shell, is lamala mina teva. It's above the natural. and within each and every one of us as well. There's that outer part, the way we behave, and then there's the inner part of the sun found in each of us. That's that inner supernatural part of us that goes above and beyond the nature, goes above and beyond what we're habituated to do, and is really the core of who we are. It's the essence of who we are, and that's the part that the gem is connected to the sun. It's that element. That's the element of tshuva. That's the element that we have to tap into, that deeper part of ourselves that is the point of our tselem Elohim, our innermost connection to God, the point that makes us go beyond ourselves to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's this inner part that has the ability to bring refuah, bring healing and bracha into our lives. When we go above and beyond what's expected of us, and we enter into that core sphere, the heat of the sun, the lamala min ha-teva. Very beautiful idea the Baruch Chaim brings in source number 39. He says, we know that anytime there's a gzeira, anytime there's a decree, there's a certain amount of time for that decree. A month, a year, a lifetime, a certain amount of time. A person has the ability, dinayita v'sfarim hakadoshim shekol gzeira k'shabal la'ola, ba'min ha'shamayim ba'gmalo s'man. Every gzeira, every decree has a certain amount of time. We have the ability, however, de'imit amsim b'taru tzilu b'tzaka v'notrim kol kach tzaka b'yom achad k'mo sh'aya ra'ui sh'itein b'chodesh u'b'shana. אז נחשב על זה כאילו כבר זמן כזה, דיינו כאילו עבר חודש או שנה. If a person is going to expend themselves and is going to go above and beyond the natural order, which means a person gives X amount of stucco all year, and instead of giving it all year, they give it in one day, it will be then considered that that one day is considered as if a year. So if there's a gzeira not to get married for 2 years, it will be 1 year and one day, because you what invested the entirety of a year in their tzedakah in that one day, it then decreases the zman, the amount of the gzeira. Likewise, if a person says tehillim a little bit every day for the month, that they finish it in a month, you say the entire tehillim in one day, you've then condensed it down to a shorter amount of time, the gzeira. That's the ability. Avraham Avinu was able to live zakein baba yamim. He lived with such intensity that, you're right, the gzeira was perhaps in his lifetime. He wasn't supposed to have a child. But he lived his entire lifetime in such a short time that he gets another lifetime. And Bakol, in Gematria, is Ben. He's able to have a child. However, says the Baruch Chaim, and this is the key for us, there's another way, aside from taking all of this intensity and putting it into a short time, there's another way to create the ability to offset gzeira. And that, he calls, is biritzifut, b'li hefsek, being able to have the ability to continuously do something without stopping. As Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, Rabbi Akiva didn't come home to have a cup of coffee with his wife and then go back. It wasn't 12 years plus 12 years. It was 24 continuous years. 12 plus 12 does not equal 24. There is something about the momentum of something being continuous that in itself creates a tremendous koach, a bracha, a blessing. The greatness of being able to push ourselves beyond in a continuous way, as he says, L'chazek atzmo b'chol matzav, the end of 43, being strong in every situation, whether it's easy or whether it's not. And that perhaps is pshat, when the Medrash says, whether maybe he had a daughter, maybe he didn't. It's really saying on a deeper level, it doesn't matter whether he had a daughter or not, in every situation, whether he had one, whether he didn't, to hold steadfast in that which you take upon yourself. And that is what brings refuah and bracha into our lives. Let's try to understand this, my friends. Human nature is we take things upon ourselves. We take things upon ourselves, and then life happens. Yes, I said I'd say tehillim every day, but today I didn't get around to it, so tomorrow I'll say a little bit more. Yes, of course I said I would do this, but you know what? In this situation, you can't expect me to do this best. and our lives are full of a lot of breaks. Living a life of breaks is living a life of teva, living a life of nature. That's the outer shield. What Avraham Avinu taught the people, and where refuah comes, is being able to break out of our nature and be able to hold steadfast like the sun comes up every single day. That's the imagery of the neck, the stone around the neck. Savarav, the neck is a place where we put a burden. It's like a burden on us. We move beyond the natural part of us. We enter into a different dimension and we say we're going to hold strong. We're going to be able to take something on ourselves that's going to be lamala min hateva, above the natural order. When it's comfortable, when it's not, it's around my neck. And I'm going to hold by this no matter what. When a person does that, when they enter into their inner dimension, the inner part of the sun, when they tap into the core of who they are, that's where refuah, that's where healing and bracha takes place. Let me share a story with you to give a very clear example of what we mean. Very famous Maggid Shir in Eretz Yisrael gives Shirim a Maggid. He has in his apartment building a family, Knanara, has 14 kids. And he marveled at all 14 kids were one after the other, amazing Shomrei Torah, Mitzvos, Yiras Shemayim. Now, that's a big bracha. You can't assume in today's day and age that all 14 kids are going to follow the same path. And not only that, those of the 14 that have gotten married unbelievable. And in Israel, they've gotten full apartments, which is unusual and well set up. And this Maggid wanted to know, what is this person's secret that he's had so much bracha in his life? He figured he must be a hidden tzaddik. So he started following him around, you know, unobtrusively. And he saw he was like a regular person. There was nothing that he did was out of the ordinary. But he was troubled. He said, there must be something. And then he found it. He noticed that when he would come home at midnight, when he would come home from Shira at midnight, he would notice that his friend, lived in Bnei Brak, would walk out to Rehovah Ezra. And he noticed that every night at midnight he was going to Rehov Ezra. So he decided to get into his car and follow him. And at one point he honked and said, would you like a ride? Maybe I'm going in your direction. No, no, no. Tell me where you're going. No, no, no. And he pushed him against, not literally against the wall yet, and he says, tell me. So the fellow told him. He says, when I was in Yeshiva Gedola, I had a friend, a chavrusa, who got into a terrible car accident, and although he was physically fine, his brain was affected, and he's like a little child. And ever since the accident happened, from 12 to 1 every single night, I go over and I learn with him and I make him happy. And when I mean every single night, I mean even when I married off my children, I left the wedding and by 12 o'clock I was there to learn with him. That the Shabbos Sheva Brachot, I insist on being in Bnei Brak so that I can be with him on Friday night at 12 to 1. Chok v'lo yaver, whatever happens, I'm there from 12 to 1 to make this fellow happy. And then this Maggid understood that it was not only the chesed which brought such bracha to this family, it was the consistency of this chesed, no matter what, whatever the situation, sunrise, sunset, the sun, continuous, the tzavar, the neck, the burden, wherever it is, when a person does tshuva, when they listen to that bat kol, that deeper part of themselves, that this is what I want to take on, that yudkei vavkei, lamala min hateva, where am I going to go above my natural order, and I'm going to commit myself to having this relationship with myself and the Ribbono Shel Olam, that brings refuah, that brings bracha, that's the secret that Avraham Avinu is teaching us. And that, my friends, is what Rabbi Lopiansky notes in Golden Apples. What the Avos might have been unique in the grasp of Kol, we see from all we've learned that's an essential quality for which every Jew must strive. It's what gives our accent of Voda an impact on our personalities, enabling us to go beyond acts of service to Hashem, to become His true servants through and through. That's the deeper understanding that Avraham Avinu had a daughter and he named her Kol. Ela Toldos Noach Noachi Tzadik. The Toldos, the progeny of a Tzadik, are the Midos, the Chesed that they do. what was the daughter, what was the progeny, what was the product of Avraham Avinu, the concept of Bakol, when you're able to dedicate your life through and through. This is who I am. This is what I stand for. No matter what, this is what I want to do. This is the chesed I'm going to do. This is the tefillah. This is the stukah. This is the project. This is where literally I'm going to shine. And when a person does that, they indeed are wearing this gem around their neck, this gem of Yeshua, this gem of Bracha, this gem that brings down so much blessing into a person's life. It's that ability to tap into not only the external part of the sun, but the Yudkei Vavkei Lamala Min HaTeva, above the natural order. When we go above our natural order and we cling to this Mita of Kol through and through in our lives, then indeed we'll be Zocha to the same Bracha of Avraham Avinu, Vashem, the Yudkei Vavkei, Bevrachet Avraham Bakol.